Hello, you beautiful people. This is KTB Media, and I am your host, the VM of the VMP. With me today is a friend of the show's for probably many years now, I would
Feels like
think.
it. Probably since COVID, I think, maybe even.
Probably, but we have referee Vinny Lax with us tonight. How you doing?
Hello. Hello, everybody.
The only guy who I was make an exception to stay up a little bit later.
Oh, thank you, Vic. I appreciate that. I'm sorry I missed your last referees summit. My wife ended up getting me tickets to the Islanders Rangers outdoor stadium series game at MetLife Stadium for Valentine's Day. It was President's Day weekend, and I had to cancel on you. So I'm sorry, but
No,
it was a good time going to the hockey game. A little bit
it's just...
cold, a little cold. I think next time we go to a hockey game, we'll make sure that it's not outdoors, but it was a good time.
I was more jealous than anything else.
I kind of don't blame you. It was.
I was kind of jealous. It went well, I guess. I mean, we had someone who was just getting into the business, asking all sorts of questions, like very apologetic the whole time. Like, I'm so sorry to be asking you this, but I feel
This
like
was the point. This is what we're here for, though.
yeah. And
That would have been fun.
I was just like, go right ahead, man. I mean,
Yeah, that's what. Yeah,
that's the
that's what you're
best
here
show.
for.
That's the best show I can record. Just to let it record itself.
Yeah. As a host, you don't have to do anything. You got a young kid there asking questions about to all these experienced referees and giving answers. That sounds like a great show.
Yeah, especially referees from all around the world.
Exactly.
So what you been up to?
A little this, a little that. Now, we got Northeast Wrestling made its comeback. What was that, 2 weeks ago now at Hat City Havoc? Oh, I just got word that that's going to be shown on Amazon. Apparently, we're going to get an Amazon premiere date pending. But yeah, Hat City Havoc 2 was Brian Anthony's retirement match. Brian has suffered a lot of wear and tear on his body over the past, what is it, 17 years, I think he was in wrestling.
How old is he?
Brian, I don't know. He's a little bit younger than me. But I mean, he's been doing this 17 years. He got in pretty young, so I don't want to give away the dude's age, but he's got to be in his mid to late 30s by now, at least.
It seems like he's awfully young to be retiring.
Right? It's like I said, the wear and tear.
Also, some people like Barry
You do
Sanders.
that long enough, you take that many bumps, it's gonna take your toll on you. Accidents happen.
Especially someone like Barry Sanders. He got in the business, had his share, and got out.
That's right.
I mean, he probably say like that injury sucked. What's the point going through that again?
I think at one point, you just get to it, especially like at that level, like you get to a point and you're like, you know what? It's not worth them waking up in pain every day. Like, I gotta do something about this.
Yeah, it's as long as they're happy. I mean, it
But it's
sucks.
wrestling, a retirement's ever permanent, you never know. So there's no such thing as actually retiring from professional wrestling. Name me one person who's retired and hasn't had another match.
Sting.
Yet. Still
No,
early. Still early. Still early on Sting.
I honestly thought the Brian Anthony retirement, I thought that was a work.
No, does have a legitimate neck injury. Like I said, I don't think it was anything that happened in like one specific incident, but I think it was a lot of just like wear and tear. I mean, a little bit behind the scenes, even a few years ago, we were driving back from a show and he was in a lot of pain. This is one of the shows in Ohio that we were doing. That's just either, and Northeast Wrestling is still doing it again this year. I don't think I'll be able to make it. I think I'll be in the UK for that, but they're coming to Niles, Ohio again. I think it's, except for COVID, maybe like the fifth, sixth year in a row. They're always good shows. But yeah, I remember driving all the way back from Ohio and, he was. Even back then, that was a few years ago now, and he was hurting. So, it's like I said, wrestling's a tough thing to do, even if you're not doing it full time, like, the guys on the road every day, like even at the independent level, you're gonna get beat up a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
So I was lucky enough to be able to referee that match and we had a good time and I'm happy it went well and everyone was happy and it was a fun night. And then I got a couple new promotion I'm working for that had their first show a couple weeks ago called Wrestling with Character. It's Kurt Adonis's new promotion. I just got word that I'm going to be working for him. It's a little bit different. It's very character driven. It's very like for for the, maybe for like the little ones or the little ones at heart. I'm excited for the opportunity. It's gonna be a, it's like a cool little different kind of thing that you know, haven't really done before. And yeah, PvP wrestling. I'm pretty been pretty busy actually. For someone who's trying to slow my career down a little bit, I'm keeping a pretty full slate. Pioneer Valley Professional Wrestling. We're gonna be there May 19th. Wrestling with Character was May 18th, and then the next day I'll be in East Hampton, Massachusetts on May 19th for PvP wrestling, and then also XWA up in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. I'm working for them. I think we have a show in early June. It's either the first or the second, whatever that Saturday is. So yeah, I've been, you know, I'm keeping myself pretty busy. Like I said, I've been trying to slow my career down, and for some reason, I just keep like getting these bookings. And like, as long as they're, the best part about it is they're all local. You know, I'm not have to travel too far. The XWA shows, if you're not a night person, great show to be at. I think it starts at 5 o'clock. We're usually out by 7:30.
Vinny, I want to introduce you to Versace Stoner. He is
hello
out the show a lot. He's also the host of the SW podcast as well.
Ah, well, welcome aboard.
Welcome. I heard some cool. I'm familiar with some of the promotions on that. The one promotion you were talking about with Character, that's something kind of rather new, right on the horizon.
Yeah. They, like I said, they had their first show. I think last month. Unfortunately, I had another booking, so I couldn't make that one, but I got word from Kurt that I'll be on the next one. And I'll be working with my good friend Kevin Quinn as the referee.
Oh, he's great. He's the best. I just talked to him not too long ago. He's been in the game forever.
Who's that, Quinn?
Yeah.
Quinn's been doing it. Not as long as I have, but Quinn's been doing it a while.
But I bet you started a lot younger. That's the thing.
Yeah, I did. Quinn has a great. I love Quinn's
origin
story.
That's why I give Kevin the kudos, because he is like, he's the guy that came in, you know, not as a kid. He came in as a fully adult, ready to go, and he's doing it.
I think he was probably older than I am now, when he started refereeing. I love Kevin Quinn's origin story. It's a fun story.
It is. We were talking about it, and he's just one of those names that, you know, if I see names on the card and I see the refs, I'm like, this is going to be a good show.
And he's a great referee.
And, you know, that's what makes, you know, a show good, in my opinion. It's obviously the wrestlers, but the referee. And the referee is that the third man in the match that's on scene. You know?
Right. It's the old adage, like a good referee is going to elevate a match. A bad referee can bring it down. You know, the third person in the ring is important to tell the story that you're trying to tell. So, yeah. But
you do it subtly. It's not like overtaking it. You know, it's through facial expression, maybe a little bit, but you're a persona, but you're not your own persona. It's like, it's a very weird
thing. Yeah. And it's also when to make yourself visible and when to like make sure that on a good false count, they're all the fans' are eyes on you to see if you hit that three. So it's kind of important to, like, number one, not tip anything off, but number two, kind of be that's the time, like, you want to be the center of attention, you know?
Yeah, and then other times you can kind of step back and let, you know, the
most of the other time you let the wrestlers tell the story, 100%.
So Pioneer Valley, they always have matinee shows, do they not?
We do a lot of Sunday matinees for Pioneer Valley, which is nice too.
You see, I might have to message you to see if I can get like any future date, because every time I find out they're about to have an afternoon event, it's like perfect for me to go down there, no problem, come back up, be on time for kids' bedtimes or whatever. But it's like the week before.
Who runs PVA? Who runs that promotion?
That'd be Hammer Tunis. Is the guy.
No, I've heard great things about this one.
He's a really nice. He's been a friend of mine in wrestling, probably going back over 10 years now. It's PvP's been going for 10 years, so I've known him well before that even. He's one of the, you know, good guys in the business. Always helps me out. You know, we collaborate quite a bit on, you know, the referee stuff.
But
he's always has questions for me.
When I just came in, I heard you saying, you know, you've been trying to slow down the book, and it's like the old model, you know, once you try to get out, they pull you right back in.
It does feel like that sometimes. This is my 20th year. I'm 44 years old now. Sometimes just like, kind of want to spend some time with the wife on the weekends. But I still love wrestling and I still enjoy going out there and performing in front of a crowd. And, like I said, like elevating the matches that I'm given, try to do my part to make what those wrestlers do look amazing and entertain the crowd. So that's why I'm still having too much fun to stop, but it's just you get older and you've been doing this a long time. And it's just like sometimes, you want to have a little bit of a break, but
It's like the thrill of it. The thrill of it's like
it
it's
is.
still
It's addicting.
there, but it's not as like sharp like it was before.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's kind of old. It is a bit old hat now, but there's always, a match that you work and you get back there and you're like, wow, like this is why I do this. Like that was fun. That was amazing. Like Brian Anthony's match. Like if I was done and I didn't get a, like get a chance to referee Brian Anthony's last match, like that would have sucked. Because Brian and I go back, like Brian was one of the main reasons I got into Northeast Wrestling in the first place. So it was incredible to like just be a part of basically Northeast Wrestling history just to be in that match.
And that's the thing, in 20 years, you must have seen, so much talent come through the ring. And it's like right now we have even more, so much talent that's out there that's just named. And it's like, that's
Wrestling
prestigious.
is having another boom right now. It may not be as big as the booms that we saw in the 80s and 90s because there's so much more competition for eyeballs now, right? Between the live streaming, YouTube, TV, like there's just there's only so many eyeballs out there, you know what I
And
mean?
everybody's watching everything. I mean, no one's dedicated. Like, and that's fine. That's how it should be. I'm watching half of, Raw and a little bit of SmackDown and a little bit of what I want out of this and AEW on this day and, IWTV the rest of the time. And it's like,
And that's
I
another
don't
point.
have
It's
time to sit and dedicate 3 hours to something.
super saturated more than it used to be. Maybe when I was younger growing like watching wrestling. It's way more saturated than it is now between what is there at least 6 hours of WWE programming a week. If there's a pay-per-view ad, which I feel like they have pay-per-views like all the time now.
Yeah,
Um,
sometimes
add four
twice a
add
month.
4 hours to that. Plus you got how many hours? Four hours of AEW TV a week, not to mention all the stuff that's on you can find online. But that's what I mean by another wrestling boom, because there's just so much out there that there's so much work for talented wrestlers.
And it doesn't, the WWE isn't the end all anymore that it was.
No.
People can be successful doing all these different avenues, and that's what I love to see. Because there's so many successful people out there that have started, in promotions that you just talked about. Or that have come from there and have now on, got major TV deals. It's great to see that. It's great to see that uprising. It's great to see the progression in somebody, starting in a small VFW and then in a couple of years they're on TV.
I mean, you talk about a guy now that just got a lot of high profile match like Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah, I
He
was gonna
came
bring
up,
him
he
up.
come up in the Northeast and I got a chance to work with him. I can't even count the number of times. And to see, even to see, watch him like progress as a wrestler, it was like, that's so much fun for me to watch somebody come in and then like excel at that level. And then be able to like say, like, I'm like up at the top of my game. It's
Even
really cool.
someone like even Vic, someone that you mentioned, the other day, TJ Crawford, his progression amazing, and that's through an injury.
Yeah, I've gotten a chance to work with TJ a few times and over the past maybe 1 or 2 years, and like I didn't really know him that well, but he's always impresses me with every match I've done with him.
I've been watching a lot of wrestling open and stuff on out of the White Eagle, and he kills it every week. And he's someone, like I said, I watched him a few years back, and he had a great match, and he got injured. And it's like, if you want to, you can go and get it, and you can do what you want to do now. There's no barriers like there were before. There's so many avenues, like you said, so many different places you can get noticed. It's great. It is that boom. It's not the boom that we thought because, like you said, it's so scattered everywhere. It's not, a million people watching one channel. It's millions of people watching millions of channels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you go back and look at the numbers. Like, people are obsessed with numbers, but you're not going to get numbers like the 90s Raw and Nitro kind of numbers, because they're just, there's so much more stuff to watch nowadays. And people don't watch
cable anymore.
That's exactly right. People don't watch TV the same way. People don't watch TV live anymore. Like you said, I'll watch it on demand. I can fast forward through the parts I want to skip. You know, maybe. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but people act like cable numbers are the end all, the all.
Yeah, they still talk about it because that's what helps support the wrestling.
Yeah, but I heard nothing other, because I'm a big YouTube person. I'm big into YouTube and it's analytics and all that. And WWE has one of the number one YouTube channels in the world.
Oh, yeah, they're making money off that.
They're making more money on that than they do on most house shows. And it's like, you know.
Well, it's so funny you say that. It's because that's the one way that the wrestling business has changed. I mean, this is way before I started, right? I'm going back like 70s, 80s, like when the wrestling model, I love the fact that the wrestling model used to be Vince gave away those tapes basically for free to go on the syndication packages. Those, you know, the old enhancement talent, like Superstars and All American Wrestling. Basically, those were like basically just given away for free because the money was in the house shows. Now it's the complete opposite. Mm. Now you don't make your money on the house shows or even the live gate that as much anymore as you do the entertainment part of it, right? The entertainment side, the merchandising side. Like, that's a big part of it
too. Sponsorships, even. The sponsorships are getting bigger. Yeah. And now you're getting, you know, they're back in an era where they're able to start taking alcohol sponsors and national, you know, big boy sponsors. It's not just pizza places anymore. I mean, it's all big money.
Not just Castrol GTX and Stridex pads.
Yeah, I mean, it's changing, and that's fine. And you know, that's a business, and that's what wrestling is—a business. But it's just interesting because you do have those fans, you know, like Vic, that will just—they'll sit there and be like, "But these numbers don't, you know, no one's watching." I'm like, and how many people do you know have Comcast? And how many people do you know got rid of their cable in the last month? And how many people do you know have, you know, are even using, you know, the right computer? They might be using, you know, they're behind a firewall, so you're not even getting a correct number. They're showing up in, you know, across the country because they don't want to get caught for, you know, whatever they're doing. It's just like every number doesn't matter. The eyes are there. People are talking about it. And that's how you can kind of see. If you go on these social media platforms and you start searching, people are talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And social media is just one big National Enquirer.
It is.
And it's become that way. It's like some stuff, it's like, you hear some things, and you hear things back. It's like, after a while, it's like, this is just back and forth bullshit. This is not.
See, that's why I like the indie thing, because you don't have that National Enquirer so much. You have some of it, but it's not there. People like to want to support the indie scene. They like the guys and girls. They play along with the stories. It's not so much, let's drag everybody down and through the mud and everybody sucks.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be. The internet wrestling community had their moments back when the forums were a thing, but the forums don't seem to be a thing as much anymore. It's more just on X posting and just,
yeah, I mean, Facebook you'll always have your Mayor McCheeses out there that are gonna
say, oh, Mayor McCheese, I forgot about that guy. Who was Mayor McCheese? Did we ever figure out who Mayor McCheese? I feel like I should have known who Mayor McCheese was, and I never got to find out.
You probably know him, and you probably someday will find out. I guarantee everybody.
I've heard rumors.
Plenty of rumors. I've probably shaken a hand or two, but I mean, that's a good case of some, you know, the modern day forum. Because that's how they used to be. It just used to be a bunch of people talking. Now it'd be like one person posting. And you'll have that occasionally. But for the most part, if you get really into the core scene of it, the people that are going to these shows paying, they're there to have fun and support it.
Oh, yeah. And they're very. And that's what I love about indie wrestling, too, is the fans are always super supportive.
Yeah.
You know,
I get to, at Northeast Wrestling, I get to work the meet and greet tables. And, you know, it's hard work, but it sometimes can be pretty interesting. Being able to have a chat with fans in line and while they're waiting to get their autographs, and you know, because a lot of them have been around the shows long enough that they know me pretty well, and like they'll, you know, come up and chat with me, and you know, it's pretty cool to be like, people know who I am because of wrestling. It's kind of wild.
So Northeast Wrestling just made a comeback last month in 27th. It was in Bethany, Connecticut. Excuse me. Bethany, Connecticut. The home
it was in Danbury. It was in Danbury.
Danbury, was Danbury?
It was in Danbury, Connecticut.
What the hell did I think of Bethany?
I don't know. Bethany Town Hall is where they used to run their smaller shows.
Yeah.
Our monthly smaller shows, but the town hall's been under construction, so we've kind of haven't had a spot to run there. But yeah, Northeast Wrestling, Hat City Havoc 2 in Danbury, Connecticut. Like I said, I just got word that it's going to be streaming on Amazon Prime in the near future.
Woo!
So
nice.
Go like the Northeast Wrestling Facebook page and follow that. Follow along, because I don't even know when it's going to premiere.
You know, I'll tell you, I never got out there because it's always a hike and planning things can be a hassle. But in 2020, you know, when the world was just at a sister, we had plenty of time to just kind of watch and look at stuff. So I ended up going on the website and man, first of all, I scored really good on some really good posters because they were like fully signed to the Mac by, you know,
yeah,
awesome superstars like Cody Rhodes, Mick Foley, the Young Bucks, like big names, and they were going pretty decent price. But I was able to buy a lot of nice DVDs and like going through watching some of these matches. I mean, honestly, they are on the level of WWE.
Oh, 100%.
Just minus millions of bucks. Just minus the million. You know, just take away, you know, the billion. If they were given that the budget, they were right on par. The matches are right there.
Oh yeah. Just take away. There's no Titantron. Like there's no $1 million set or anything. But the wrestling in the ring is on par. It was some of the best wrestling, especially. I mean, I don't want to take away from what it is now because it's still amazing. But I mean, you look at some of the names that we had back. We had, you know, Cody Rhodes, Warbeard Hansen, Dijak, Carmelo Hayes. I'm trying to think of Keith Lee.
Yeah, MJF. Did you get MJF?
We had MJF a few times. Yeah. I actually, speaking of Wrestling Open, I Brad Hollister and MJF, I refereed them in the Bethany Town Hall, I think.
Darby Allin.
Yeah, he was there.
He was the champion for a while. Beat JT Dunn at Six Flags Great Adventure. I refereed that match. Like,
that was a great time in New England because I feel like these guys were just transitioning, and we were lucky as fans to be able to go and see them and like be a part of shows because they weren't superstars quite yet, so there wasn't, you know, they weren't hidden behind anything. You could go
well,
and show.
It also showed there was a market there for AEW, right? And that's kind of was Cody's dream at the time, was to, you know, start this promotion, and it kind of showed him, I think, that there was a market for that kind of wrestling.
It was, and he also had like Ring of Honor, you know, teaming up with New Japan, which got excitement because those guys were working together, and that kind of sparked things on the other end, you know. And seeing that the indie scene again, you know, all these guys and girls were coming through without contract, but they were all, you know, liked. They were all named. They were all making decent, and they all could hold their own. You know, that was the birth of All In. You know, that was to me that was the beauty of All In. You know, they were all kind of wrestlers just coming together and saying, "Hey, you know, let's do this.
Let's put on a big deal." Yeah, and they did, and it changed wrestling for now. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's changed the whole landscape because it did kind of escalate into, you know, indie scenes working harder because now they have a second place to go. You know, the one shot of just going to WWE, now you got another place you can work, and then that set off, you know, all these other promotions that were kind of underneath to be better and do better, and it really did. It started another renaissance era in wrestling.
100%.
So the last event, though, you refereed the main event, correct, with Vito and Brian Anthony?
The main event, Brian Anthony's retirement match versus Vito. Just Vito now. He was used to Baron Von Vito, but now I guess it's just Vito. He lost his baronship when the kingdom broke up there.
But when I advertised that you were coming on the show, I had someone from the audience private message me, and I cannot tell you who it was. And he claimed that he saw Brian Anthony slip Vinny some money.
Scandalous.
Is that true?
Brian Anthony did not slip me any money.
Is that true? That's not true.
Of course that's not true.
I just saying, you know.
Not true. See, what happened was he owed me some money. He owed me some money. So maybe that's what they say. So he was handing me some money that he owed me from a previous debt.
I mean, I can't tell you if if it was Vito.
Ryan didn't need my help in that match. All right, I'll just put that way. You didn't need my help.
Okay, I just got the message, and now it's just like, how do you look into it?
Have you ever had to Montreal screw job anybody though?
No. I will tell you a funny story, and this I probably shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway because why not? a guy by the name of Frankie Arion was working in for CTWE. This is where actually Bethany Town Hall they used to run there before Northeast Wrestling. And we brought in Loki, right? And the idea was to put Frankie on over with a roll up to, you know, boost Frankie's profile a little bit, be like, oh, we got to win over this guy. Yeah, Loki didn't want to do it, which is, I get it. You got to protect yourself in this business. So he protected himself. He says, nope, I'm not jobbing. And I went up to Frankie and I was like, you want to do this thing? I was like, I'm down. And he's like, no, he'll kick both our asses. I was like, you're right. That was the closest I got to ever doing a Montreal screw job. So.
Have you ever wanted to screw someone over?
Why would I?
I'm just saying, have you ever wanted to?
No. I couldn't even imagine a reason why I would even want to. The closest thing I came to screwing somebody over, I like this story because I just told it not too long ago. This was back in like 2006, 7 maybe. The Battle Brothers were just starting out wrestling. It was maybe their second match. They were working for their trainer, Paul Roma, for a company called CCW at the time. And guys by the name of Cheech and Cloudy, I don't know if you guys ever heard of them. They did a lot of indie work. They were in Ring of Honor. Good guy. I trained when I was at the Vito's.
They were there training. Wait, you say CCW?
CCW, Connecticut Championship CCW. Wrestling. Paul Roman was booking for Connecticut Championship Wrestling at the time. I think Tony DeVito was the champion, and Tony was one of the guys who trained me. So he got me on, and he also trained Cheech and Cloudy. So they were on. And Paul Roma put the Battle Brothers over. And like I said, it was like their second match. And Cheech and Cloudy hadn't been in wrestling that long either. But so he had a whiteboard with the names underlined for whoever's going over. Cheech and Cloudy just went over. So they weren't going over and erased their names. Erased the line. So now there's no line under who's going over. The Battle Brothers come up, they're like, oh, like who's going over? And Cheech and Cloudy just looked at it. Didn't say we're going over. They just said, who do you think's going over? And they're like, it's their second match, the Battle Brothers. They're like, oh yeah, you guys are going over. Of course you are. You've done Ring of Honor already. Like you know, you've been established. So we go out there, we have a match. I put Cheech and Cloudy over, 1, 2, 3. I get back, and Paul Rome was screaming at, what the do you think? What did he say? He was like, what the part do you not see Battle Brothers are going over? Something like, I don't know, something like that. I lost my train of thought there. But just irate that he was like, what? Yeah, why? Just blowing up at me. And I'm like, I thought they were over. That's what they told me. And then you look at the board and there's nobody's name underlined. So they
don't.
Hey, that was kind of like a Montreal screw job. Kind of like a Montreal screw job. Just not.
You weren't really the one pulling the string. But that's smart, though. That is smart.
Who do you think's going over? It's one of my favorite stories. I mean, the Battle Brothers and I laugh about it all the time because.
That's great.
It was probably the first time I met them, and I honestly I didn't remember them from that. And then like years later, we reconnected, and we were talking about. I think we were talking about that, and they were like, "Yeah, that was us." And I was like, "Oh my god, that's funny." It's one of my favorite stories, though.
So you've refed got how many matches in your career?
I wish I counted. To be honest with you, When you first start, some referees do this. I think there's at least a few that I know have a journal. I think Kevin Quinn actually still keeps a journal of every match that they've done, like every show and every match that they've done. And when I got in, I did not expect to be doing this for 20 years. I was doing it. I had a friend, Jeff Leibolt, who was running a promotion called Tri-State Wrestling. He knew I was a wrestling fan. I asked him if he could ref. He took me to Tony DeVito's school. I learned how to ref there. And I was just like, oh, I'm just going to just, you know, do his shows and that's it. And like never never do anything else with wrestling, just kind of just hang out with him and do shows for him. And then I happened to run into somebody who came to the show, who I went to college with, who was wrestling. His name was Osiris. And he brought a friend who was a referee, and the referee was like, you didn't do a bad job there. He was like, how long have you been training? Or how many shows have you done? And I said, this is my first show. And he was like, oh, well, I could get you work. And then it just kind of spiraled from there.
Who, Osiris?
No, Osiris's friend, by a guy by the name of Zach the Ref, who I think I was like 14 years old at the time. Refereeing professional wrestling.
Osiris is still wrestling too. He's another one. He's great. He's still
Osiris and me, yeah, Osiris and I went to college together.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, actually, it's funny too. Like there were
I'm three friends with him and Doc Ozone. I love Doc Ozone.
There were three people at Sacred Heart University at the time who were all became in some involved in professional wrestling. Me, Osiris, and I graduated with Johnny Heartbreaker. What's his flipping name, right?
Okay.
What is his name in the WWE? He was the Heartthrobs with Tom. I feel bad because John Roselli is his name, but I can't think of his gimmick name that he was in the WWE. That's the Heart. Remember the Heartthrobs?
Bang! There was parts of WWE that I didn't watch.
Anyway, Romeo Roselli. Romeo Roselli is his gimmick name now. I forget what they called him in WWE.
But I know the other one anyways. Like I said, I know Osiris. Like I said, I've smoked a lot of weed with Doc Ozone. He's a good guy.
Well, that's a good time.
He's a good person, though. And he's someone, again, you know, you can still see him on the indies. You know, I like to go to, like, NCW shows and stuff, and he's always out there. Good stuff. I was going to ask you, though, quickly. You know, you said you went to school to ref. How much different was it, like, going to school to ref and then, like, having to train to wrestle? Did you get to see both? Was it during at the same time?
I did. Well, I did, you know, when you train to ref, when you start out, you do, you know, you train to wrestle as well. So I did, you know, I did go through, like, wrestling training, not to the extent as, like, people are going to become full-time wrestlers do.
Kind of like a boot camp kind of deal. It's this is the basic.
Yeah, you guys can compare from that. It's, yeah, you know, I learned how to hit the ropes. I learned how to take bumps. I learned, you know, you learn the structure of matches. You learn how to chain wrestle. I was terrible at chain wrestling, by the way. It was awful. But luckily I didn't have to worry about that too much.
So it's not just going in and like sitting around and being like, hey, this is what you do. You first gotta learn.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I still remember my first day, my back all bruised up from hitting the ropes. You know, hitting the ropes wrong, learning how to bump, learning how to flip. I couldn't do backflips, I still can't. Like I have something in my brain that will not let me go do a backflip. But I was doing, you know, the forward rolls and the forward bumps and, you know, All the wrestling training stuff.
What's clipping is it's so unnatural. People don't realize that, like, you know, wrestlers, yeah, they get to the point where they, you know, they make themselves fall so they can bump. But it's like every instinct in your body is trying to like fight to keep you to stand up. And it's like, I don't want to go down.
But you want to go down. Like, I feel bad. I took a hip toss from Jerry Lynn once. And Jerry Lynn was one of my favorite wrestlers back when I was a huge fan in like the 90s. And it was awful, and I felt terrible. I was like, oh my god, I made Jerry Lynn look terrible. How could I do that to Jerry Lynn? Nicest guy in the world, by the way, Jerry Lynn. I broke his nose once. I don't even know how I did that. That was a weird spot. I don't know. Did I tell you that story?
No. What the hell? You beat the hell out of your heroes all the time? Make them look bad?
It was a weird spot. It was him and Vampiro. This was the same show as the Hacksaw Jim Duggan Matt Bourne show that I did. It was a weird night for me professionally. Anyway, they're in the corner, blah, blah, blah. I'm supposed to break them up. They switch, get back into it. For whatever reason, like Vampiro throws me, get back in between them. And I think when Lynn says, when he went to go just like put me out of the way, like as it's like get out of the way, I expected him to throw me like Vampiro did. And I think my arm just flailed and caught, like, the tip of my elbow caught him right in the bridge of the nose.
Jeez.
So I didn't feel it. And I turn around, and all of a sudden, I just see him on the ground. Going, you broke my effing nose. And I was like, oh, no. Finish the match. I go backstage, and I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. Is Jerry Lynn going to want to fight me? Like, am I going to have to get into a fight with Jerry? tonight, like I'm gonna get my ass kicked. And I go backstage, and I think the first thing he said, he was like, "I'm sorry." I'm like, "What do you mean you're sorry? I'm sorry." Like, he's like, "I don't know what happened." He's like, "I think I went to go push you out of the way, and I think you thought I was gonna throw you, and your arm came up and hit me in the nose." I was like, "Dude, I am so sorry. I don't even know what to say." But then a few years later, I refereed him again, and I didn't tell him about that incident because he wasn't gonna remember me, right? I didn't tell him that was me until after the match. I made sure after we worked the match, I was like, "Oh, remember that time the referee broke your nose? Yeah, that was me. Sorry about that." He's like, "I thought you looked familiar."
Hey, have you ever been in the ring like roughing a match where when the fans come like rush the ring but try to get in?
No, luckily, no. I've never been in the ring for that. Billy Gunn almost instigated a fan to come in the ring once, but it wasn't that serious. They didn't make a real attempt. Basically, Billy Gunn was wrestling Spanky. This was in the Bethany Town Hall, and they had no guardrails there. So it's late in the night. It was one of those long, long shows back in the day. Like, it was too long of an indie show. Like, it's 10:30 already. We were been on since 7. Crowd's getting a little rowdy, doing a little heckling. And Billy Gunn gets out of the ring, looks at a kid, says, "Get up." The kid gets up, he sits in a chair, he goes, "You do it." So the kid goes, looks around, and goes to get in the ring. I just ran up to him, put my knee right in his chest, and said, Don't do this. Don't come in here." And he got back. And Billy Gunn was like, grabbed him, was like, "Don't listen to me."
I heard protocol is they're really going to get their ass kicked if they go in there. It's like it's not a good
Okay,
time.
here, yeah, yes and no. I mean, back if you did this in like the 80s and the 90s, especially when people took wrestling, like kayfabe was still more of a thing. Yes, you would have got your ass. Everyone's seen the clip of Scott Hall booting the hell out of that guy's head. Nowadays, you wouldn't do that because there'd be a lawsuit.
But you still see it once in a while. Like I saw a clip the other day, somebody will get in a wrestler's face on TV and the wrestler will strike him.
Yeah, I mean, you got to protect yourself, right? But I mean, something like what Scott Hall did, like I
Yeah, I
said,
mean,
you're
that's not
booting
gonna
the hell out of it.
happen.
You're a little excessive.
Granted.
You're gonna catch a lawsuit for doing something like that. If someone gets in the ring, yeah, you got to protect yourself because you don't know what that guy's gonna do. It's like anytime, like if somebody comes on like a football field, like if you ran up to a football player and you were a fan, he's gonna lay you out because it's like he doesn't know what you're doing. Why are you
But
on my field right
granted,
now? Like
there's security and stuff too at a show. I
if you
mean,
get past security.
That's what
You
I'm
know,
saying. Like most of the
obviously,
time, they're
obviously, an
pretty
NFL
quick.
game is going to have a little more security than an independent wrestling show. But
I was just at like one of those Midget Mania shows, and like this one kid was just all hyped up, and he tried to go in to fight him. Like before he could even step 5 feet, dude, like three dudes were on him. Like, hey, you don't want to start this shit tonight. Like, either sit down and go home, but you're not fighting.
yeah,
He
I
had
think
like a
that
Gucci
should be an
mask on
automatic
and
that
stuff.
you try even try to get in the ring. That should be an automatic ejection. Like you're gone. Like we can't have that. It's not safe for anybody. It's not safe for the fans. It's not safe for the wrestlers.
No, but I get it. Some people get worked up and some people don't have control over those emotions. They just get so
Well,
into the moment. Like, yeah, maybe,
then they
okay,
can
you
watch
want me to
wrestling
do
from
it? I'll
home.
do it.
Then they can
Yeah,
watch
I
wrestling from
mean,
home.
if Billy Gunn told me when I was 18 to come in and do it, I would probably would say, yeah, let's suck it. Let's do it.
And I would run up and be like, "No, don't do this." And then I was talking to Spanky afterwards. He just said to me, he's like, "Yeah, that kid got in the ring. I was just gonna kick him in the balls."
Yeah, see, like that's the thing though, like but yeah, I mean I think for the most part, I mean, fans do kind of respect that line unless you go to like GCW and they'll just throw bottles and shit at you. They don't even need to
That's
get close.
a weird environment.
It is
But
the whole death match scene is it's a different environment. I won't say it's weird or bad because I enjoy some aspects of it and I enjoy some of the matches, but it is a different kind of atmosphere than your normal show or a different show, and the people there are different.
that's what I mean by
It's kind of
weird.
like a
It's
mosh pit crowd, like.
definitely a different environment than what I'm used to. I've never been a big
Yeah,
deathmatch
definitely.
guy. I appreciate what they do. It is not easy, I will say that, but not really my style.
Yeah, but would you
No, and
ref?
I
Would
would
you ref
imagine
one?
being a
Would you ref one?
the money was right, yeah.
That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say, imagine that would be kind of difficult because now you gotta like instead of
You're
watching, you're
getting
like looking around, glass, all this other stuff. It's
so
like a little
supply
bit
me with
more.
a pair of workers' gloves, workman's gloves, And if, like I said, if the pay was right, I definitely wouldn't, I would definitely up my normal booking fee for something like that. But yeah.
What is your booking fee these days about?
Well, I'm not putting that out there right now.
About, just like give us like within $50,
Wait, hold on. You're not one of those $20 workers, right?
I am not. No, I haven't worked for $20 in a very long time.
Okay, good. That's just that's enough. Anything more than 20, you're good, right?
It depends on the size of the show, how far I have to travel. I'll say I per show I go anywhere between 75 and 150.
Would you say now the travel though is kind of more the issue with the gas, everything? It's like that's what's kind of the driver now.
Well, I mean, gas, through my 20 years of career, gas has kind of been up and down. I mean, if you account for inflation, gas is high right now, but it's not nowhere near the highs it's been. I mean, when I first started, those late 2000s when gas was like $3.54 a gallon as well, and I was driving much farther for that, and that's probably when I was more like a $25 guy. So but yeah, I probably usually anywhere between $75 and $150 I'll get for a booking fee. Like I said, if I'm traveling farther, I'm going to ask for more, obviously. But I had 20 years of experience, so
And it obviously depends on, who you're working for, which promotion.
Well, the size of the show matters to me, too. And how well I know the promoters and,
If it's a long-term commitment, it's like, okay, I can go a little less. If you just bring me out one time, it's like, yo, I want it all.
That's another thing, too, yeah.
My future point is I'm asking these questions. So when my kid, if my kid ever gets in a bullying situation, I'll just pay someone's, booking fee come down for a couple hours just to say hi to my son and just kind of look all scary and no one will fuck with him anymore.
That's good. I like the planning. I like the planning ahead.
I mean, that's... What do you think, Fasashi? I mean, you're a father. That's fair.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I am a father and I introduced him to the JWO way too early. TJ gave him a replica bat. Kid will carry it around if he wants it. He's like, we'll call wrestlers. I'll call TJ. I'll call Rob if there's a problem. He's all for it.
Of course.
The wrestling family shit. And he's watched ECW. He's not afraid. He knows what has to happen. But, the other aspect of it, it's hard as a father, I think it's even harder nowadays because there's so much you can even do. I mean, back in the day, you could tell your kid, hey, somebody hits you, hit him back. Now it's like, well, hit him back, but don't kill the kid. Make sure he's still, walking. It's so
it's weird. Good advice. It's so hard, but... Yeah, I mean.
It's screwed up. It's
appropriate retaliation, I think.
Yeah, it's like, don't take a soccer punt, but, don't beat the kid. Boy, there's a line, where before it was just like, well, whatever. Everybody's going to walk away at the end of the day anyways. And now it's just parents be calling, why'd your kid steal this Lego? He's like, nah, that didn't even happen. Your kid threw it at him. It's like, it's so much more technical and everything's like tit for tat. It's a really weird world. But that's why, like I said, I that's why I dive into the wrestling world, to escape that world.
That's a good point. Wrestling is a great escape.
I think it is too, but I think... Do you think the WWE kind of kills the magic, so to speak? If you go to an indie show, you want to see wrestling, but they have all the lights, the big, huge Titantron, that kind of like.
That's, I don't know. I don't know if I want to say they killed the magic, because it's such a bigger spectacle than it was when I was growing up.
Why should they water down the magic? This is good. Water it down.
I mean, maybe, but that's also, I think our point of view as people who are, a little bit older. I think.
I'm put this on now. It's like, I like, Kennedy Lake Park very well. And I'll go there probably, 20 times before I go to Disney World because Disney World costs more. It's harder to get to, it's more expensive. Maybe they got more glitz and glamour, but. I'm not always getting my bang for the buck, and that's how I feel WWE is. It's great to go once in a while. It's kind of good, but there's a lot involved. It's a very expensive thing. This last Mania was probably the most expensive Mania that I've ever seen, looking at prices.
And it's only going to go up.
It is.
But that is what's great about independent wrestling, and independent wrestling fans realize that the value that they get at, you know, our types of shows is going to be way, like you said, way more bang for your buck than what you're going to get in the WWE. Like,
I mean, you've got general admissions as low as $10 at places. You got even some at $5 or $3. And then, you know, front row is 20, and that's where, you know, you can see people dive. People will dive right into you. They'll sit next to you. They'll slap you in the lap. Like, you know, you can get as close as they'll let you get. And that's all for, you know, very short money. You can still bring the kids. You can get something to eat there. You can probably buy a T-shirt. And you'll still have money tomorrow, where at WWE, it's like, I went once to a Raw, and it was like, you know, a couple $100, and I came home with nothing, I feel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's, but it's also the difference between going to a Yankee game and going to a, you know, a Rockland Boulders game, or like, you know, a minor league game or a Renegades game. Like, I'm just naming teams around here. I don't know too many minor league teams, but, you know, it's, you're going to get the pop and circumstances that go along at that kind of level.
Sometimes,
but
it's gonna, it's, sometimes,
but it will, no, but it will cost you.
But see, sometimes I think it's on par. The stories are even being told.
Well, you got to remember, like, the, you know, those minor league players, they're close. They're pretty close to the pros, and some of them are going to go pro, and some of them are pros that have come down. Like, you know, it's similar. It's similar like that. That's the way I kind of always looked at independent wrestling.
It is. And, but
it's a farm,
you know,
it's a farm system, you know,
sometimes, like, I think they are on par, you know, there'll be a good match on the indie scene that will be, you know, on WWE on TV.
But you're going to see just as exciting baseball game at a minor league stadium than you will at a baseball game too sometimes, right?
Yeah, of course. I've seen it with minor league hockey as well. And soccer.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen dudes on the field playing soccer with their friends that are more exciting than another.
That's fair. That's a fair point as well, yeah.
You know, and it's just a matter, I guess, on, you know, the work and the dedication. And I just feel like with sometimes the WWE, it gets a little robotic, it's a little overprogrammed. And if you kind of notice it, you get stuck in the rhythm of it. And for some, it can lose the excitement. Some not. It's very subjective. That's what I love about wrestling. It's the most subjective thing. It's what you want it to be, man. There's so much in wrestling that you can take the light that there's nothing to really dislike. You can put that whole side away.
Yeah, I think it's a Cornette saying about the flavors of ice cream, right? Some people like strawberry. Some people like chocolate. Some people like Rocky Road. Some people, you know, but that's what wrestling, like, then there's an equivalent to wrestling. Some people like this type of wrestling. Some people like that kind of wrestling. Some people like, you know, some people like the high flying wrestling, some people more like the more technical wrestling, mat based wrestling. Some people like me, I was always been a character guy. Like, I grew up with 80s WWF. Like, I grew up in like the main Hulkamania era where everyone was an over the top character. And for me, sometimes the wrestling secondary. I always liked the characters.
Rad Pro or even like the promotion you meant, where it's really character driven. It's more about those characters, you know. And the stories that go, of course, the wrestling is there, but, you know, I always tell people, you know, 2020 was a weird time. You know, there was no wrestling, but there was a lot of wrestling to be watched. You know, people started getting inventive of how they did wrestling. One of the great examples, Kill City Cup. You know, they put them together, a movie together, and by now it's got like Brian Cage, a few other dudes, right? It's wrestling, it's Mortal Kombat, it's all that, it's all put together. And, you know, it's all character driven, though. The wrestling is just, you know, secondary. And that's like, you know, it's the stuntman. Wrestler's the perfect, I guess I would say, actor, because they got all of that, and the fight scenes are always on point. There's no bullshit in the fight scenes, punches, the kick, whatever it may be. It looks good.
Yeah. I mean, that's what wrestling, you know, ultimately is, right? It's a story. It's a story in the ring. And that's why I'm always been very character driven, because if you have better characters, you're going to tell a better story. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, but when's the time, though, to admit that the WWE is like a different category than professional wrestling itself?
Well, I mean, they've been calling themselves sports entertainment for a long time, and I think that's what their mantra is, right? That's what their mission statement is, right? They're not. I mean, I've heard they're getting away from that now. The Triple H is more involved. That they're going to go back more to like the like professional wrestling mentality. But they were just sports like that's what Vince wanted. Vince wanted sports entertainment. He didn't want like the old school professional wrestling, right? He wanted the glitz and glamour. He wanted the bigger the life. That's why, you know, you look at the old WrestleManias. His main thing was to bring in celebrities into that, to make it more mainstream. He wanted wrestling to become a mainstream thing. And before 1980, it wasn't, right? It was back alley stuff. It was, you know, going to the bingo halls or going to the sportatorium, and like, you know, there was no glitz and glamour to it.
Even WrestleMania 1 was a gamble. He was giving out tickets, but they started bringing in names. You had Muhammad Ali. You had these people. And, you know, you had started bringing in Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin, pop stars, people that were relevant, Mr. T, people that were outside the wrestling industry that people would know that would draw them back in.
And it's still that model. They're still using that model today.
No, they're going to with Paul Logan right now and all those guys and the people that the kids watch today. It might just be a little bit more geared towards the younger generation and who they bring in, because I feel
like it's definitely day, you know, that's where the money is. You know, I hate
it
to
is,
say it,
but back in the day,
that's where the money is.
They tried to gear it towards, you know, an older crowd, and sometimes they switch it back and forth because they got to remember, though, you know, the kids have to get the money somewhere, and usually it's from the parent. And if you don't get the parent to go to the show, well, then who's going to spend all that money unless the kid's well off?
Well, also going back to the sponsorships, like you look at the Attitude Era, and like, you know, their sponsors were Castrol GTX and Stridex pads, and that's about as much as best as they can go. And now, you know, now they went a little bit more mainstream, and they're getting, you know, Domino's Pizza and KFC and these huge national brands. So like, that's where the, you know, that's where the money's driven, you know.
But they've also been, you know, through a multitudes of network TV deals, and like you said, from back alley to, you know, just bigger and bigger stages, until the point that it got so big that it might be in its own, honestly, category to some extent, because for the longest time since they closed basically the doors of the other two promotions and had to lose the Federation name, they were alone in that industry. That was them. Oh,
For a long time. I mean, yeah, you know, you had TNA. What TNA
was
back then,
but it wasn't the same. They ran things different in the beginning. They didn't use a regular ring. It was separated, and you know, and you know, yes, they took some guys here and there and again, but it was like kind of like NFL, and you know what they tried to do with, you know, what Vince tried to do then with, you know, his wrestling, you know, NFL. It's not as good. It wasn't.
It's
as
not.
Good.
It's not. It wasn't on the scale, obviously. Right? But that's
no,
what, yeah,
not,
no. I think
not,
WWE
not
does stand
today. Today, I think it got much better over time as, you know, things changed, but at the time, WWE just had that dominance, and had they not had to lose the F, I don't know. Would he still call it entertainment? He, you know, would it still be a federation? Would he have changed?
Well, I mean, the term sports entertainment, I think, came before WWF, right? Or WWE, rather. They called it sports entertainment, I think, even before that.
The leadership in sports entertainment, yeah, WWF. Like, I think it might even been.
I'm just talking about it. it's just a different mentality, right? It's that they have that, I think, but that also helped get wrestling more in the mainstream, right? So,
well, yeah, because now you don't hear the word wrestling, and it's like some people get turned off by the word wrestling. They
well, especially back then. I think it's a bit better now, but yeah,
it's better now. But back then, like especially early 2000s, people would start hearing wrestling like, oh, ECW, all these guys are bleeding everywhere. They're gonna kill each other with barbed wire. It's like, now you hear, you know, you say sports out there. It's like, oh, well, what's this? Something a little, oh, it's more cleaner. It's more formal. It sounds more family oriented. It sounds like something we can sell to people. It sounds like something we can get investors for. It sounds like something we can market.
Well, it was also a way to avoid athletic commission regulations too. But that's
another
story.
Too, yeah. The real reason behind
we're not,
him.
We're not a sport. We're sports entertainment. We're like a sport.
It's how we got it to be, you know, mandatory in 2020. I mean, that still kind of blows my mind that he was able to run shows, but that's the power, eh?
That's the money.
The thing I don't understand is you hear so many leaks that come out of the WWE about, like, future matches or whatever, but in other promotions, you might hear one or two once in a while. But WWE constantly leak.
They got so much more coverage, you know. That's what that is. There's so much more coverage. There's so many more connections, like, that people have. Listen, I gotta run to the restroom real quick. I've been drinking too much Gatorade, but what time do you plan on going till?
We have another 8 minutes left in the 60-minute time limit, but we can sign off anytime.
That's fine. I don't want to leave you hanging. Just talk amongst yourself for a minute. I'll be right back.
Okay. Nice shirt, Fuzashi.
Oh, thank you. I don't know what the score is. They were up when I left.
Last time I saw, they were up. Last time I saw, oh my god. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, they won 120-95.
Oh, that's good. Not too worried about New England. The real test will be if we get to Denver, and Denver will give us the most trouble. They're the only team I kind of fear against.
Yeah, but Minnesota's getting Denver problems.
That's the lucky part, but I think we could have a better chance of Minnesota. I feel like I just fear Denver. I don't know.
I think this is Boston's championship to lose.
It might be. Might be. I watched that Brady roast. That shit was hilarious.
That was pretty fucking funny. Vinny, do you watch the Brady roast?
Oh. No, it looked interesting, though. I like that he admitted that he deflated the balls. So that was cool.
Yeah, I think they need wrestling roast, man. That's where it's at.
They should do. Actually, they should do some professional wrestling. Didn't they roast Hogan on Comedy Central once?
Yeah, but he roasted that up. I saw something about it, and they were like, today's wrestlers couldn't handle the criticism. And I'm like, probably not.
Yeah, they could, trust me. They could.
I do want to get both of you guys' opinion about the Ric Flair incident that's coming out about him at a restaurant.
I just saw something on Facebook before I came on here. That's all I know about it. But it's Ric Flair, so I don't know what else to say. It's Ric Flair. The guy didn't get canceled for doing a helicopter like on an airplane to stewardesses. Like, I don't know. Like Ric Flair. Honestly, I don't know what do you expect from Ric Flair anymore? I don't know.
It's Ric Flair, dude. Okay, first of all, you know, I knew about the helicopter trick, you know, when it happened. Like back in the day, they talked about it, and then you know it got brought up again. Everybody was anti-Flair, but it's Ric Flair. He's not some new dude. He's had these kind of weird ass shit all his life. He's very just flamboyant, and now he's probably at this point a little bit having some mental issue because he's up there in age, and he's also been in the ring a very long time, and he still takes bumps, and he's still a little crazy, and he probably still does drugs. All that combined, he really don't surprise me what he does. A lot of it is to stay relevant. A lot of it is he knows that he's old and he can get away with shit. And the other is he's just fucking crazy. It's Ric Flair.
Well, the video that came out of what really happened makes him look really bad.
What happened? I didn't see the whole video. I tried to
click. I didn't even watch it. So, Zay, why don't you explain, Vic, what exactly happened?
He started writing about a bad experience he had at a restaurant.
Okay.
And he was asked to leave. And, of course, he's telling everyone, don't go to this restaurant. Da, 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 da. Was someone in the restaurant, either the owner or one of the employees who had the recording of what happened, put it on social media. Didn't say anything behind it. Just like, and it's like Ric Flair going ballistic over a server and calling him a dipshit and.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Ric Flair's a fucking. At the end of the day, people got to remember Ric Flair is he's a celebrity. Do that to somebody in Hollywood and watch them belittle you too. It's the same shit. Ric Flair thinks he's more important than the president. He acts that way. That's the real Ric Flair. He isn't like that just in the ring.
Yeah, but you don't get in the guy's face and just fucking berate him.
Well, he's an asshole.
I know he's an asshole, but that's what.
Better that he did that than stick his dick in his face.
Shit. Yeah, because he's been known to do that. And like I said, he didn't get canceled for that. So, you know, it's Ric Flair.
I lost all respect for him ever since he did that Viagra commercial.
I don't even think
I'm sorry. After the Viagra, it was like, why? Really, Rick?
Ric Flair will sell anything for money, dude. He's a pro wrestler. He's a worker, dude. He will you give him enough money and he will do what you ask him to.
After 90 minutes, woo!
I bet they're actually, you know what? That's a good point. I bet the damn restaurant paid him good money to belittle them. So now they got
the I doubt that, but yeah. That'd be funny.
You never know. That's good publicity for them. All those 5-star ratings.
Actually, that is working the long game. Actually, I like that. If I ever own a restaurant,
you own a restaurant, you hire.
I'm gonna have somebody famous come in and go viral, berating my staff, and then everyone will be coming. Oh my god, yeah, coming.
Telling you, that's where the money is.
This is why you need This is why you need to know everyone's booking fees. So you just book them and come to your restaurant, say, I'll feed you afterwards.
Ric Flair's getting more money than I am. I'll tell you that right now.
His seminar money is more money than most people make in, like, his to do like a signing is more money than most people make in their yearly career. He's ridiculous.
I believe that. I've met Ric Flair. I've worked meet and greet tables with Ric Flair at least a few times, probably at least twice, I want to say.
If he does come back, I want to see him face MJF. I think those two would have a good
fight. He's not. I don't think he's going to come back and wrestle. I don't think he
looking feasible.
That would be fun to watch, though. I'd watch it. MJF might stiff him.
But he has a higher booking fee than him.
Oh, probably. MJF is doing well for himself.
Hey, Jesus, Tully Blanchard, I got a rep from him to say that, tell me that, yeah, if you want him on your podcast, $1,500.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, $1,500?
Well, I expect my check in the mail any minute now, so let me know when you're sending that over, Vic.
I'll pay you cash. Cash is king. You don't have to deal with any of the taxes bullshit or whatever like that.
Hey, kayfabe the IRS right now. Dude, you're talking about it. They know. They can listen. They're on Zoom.
If they're going to get me, they're going to get me for many different reasons.
We all start minister gimmicks. We can avoid all that.
That's true. I'm going to say it's a religion. We got to register as a religion, though. We really.
Hey, squad of
the internet wrestling community religion. I don't know the squad requirements. Squad
to be a soldier for years.
I thought pro wrestling was a religion.
It should be. There you go. That's why it's still tax free.
Don't
tell Vince that. I'm surprised Vince hasn't tried that. Well, he's gone now. He can't. But I'm
he
surprised
might come
Vince
back with that. A cult. He might come back with a cult. Kool-Aid and all. He might come back.
And I heard rumors that Vince is going to start his own wrestling promotion.
I don't think so. I think Vince is going to walk away and take his millions and millions of dollars, if not $1 billion. And just live out the rest of his life.
What was the bottom line after fees and everything? He walked away with like $782 million.
That's probably something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if it was more than that. But yeah,
that was the TKO shares that he sold.
Yeah, that's just that because I'm sure there's money divested in other places too. But
I heard he was investing in XPW with Rob Black, honestly, but that could just be rumor and speculation.
I mean, who knows? He had his hand in a lot of wrestling companies back in the day too. Like he was, it was one of the worst well known secrets about him bankrolling ECW for so many years.
Well, because he helped people, and he got his hands in everything. A lot of his shit was kind of shady. People don't realize that it was smart business, but it wasn't clean business all the time.
Never. It was a clean business.
Hey, do you believe in the rumors that the WWE is paying Eric Bischoff to bury AEW?
No. That's silly.
And I'm like, Eric Bischoff last year declared bankruptcy. That's why I'm like, yeah, you know, if you're desperate, bankruptcy.
No, I mean, that's number one. He's not burying AEW. Like, AEW is doing fine. AEW is doing what they should be doing. Like, I don't think, like, people think AEW and WWE should, like, be on the same tier. They're just not. They're not.
First of all, WWE has 40 WrestleMania, but they have over, 60, 70, 80, whoever knows how many years at this point.
Yeah. And AEW is great, but who experience. Like, if there's anyone that's going to tank AEW, it's going to be Tony. Like, he's the owner. You know, he's the guy who has all the power in that company, right? It's not like it's a public company. He ultimately has all the power. If anyone's going to tank, it's going to be himself.
Yeah, I could see him accidentally doing something stupid.
Well, see, that's why I kind of like the all-in thing. It was the wrestlers and just up to them, and it was like a union of wrestlers, and I liked that idea. There was no.
Well, I remember that was the whole thing about AEW. It was going, yeah, they're going to have better worker protections. They're going to have unions. They're going to do this. They're going to do that, and never really materialized. But that's capitalism for you.
Yeah, well, the security reason they have more. They have higher security for their wrestlers in the hotels than in WWE, apparently.
Okay. I don't even know if they need more security, but that's a nice perk, I guess.
But they also pay their people more. Some of them were getting paid more. Some of their roster are getting paid more than Roman Reigns was at WWE as champion.
Oh, yeah, but I think Tony Khan might even have more money than Vince McMahon did, so.
Well, he's a money mark. He's more of a money mark than Vince. Vince is a businessman. Well,
Vince was never a money mark. That's the thing. Vince came up in the business with the business. His father didn't want him in the business, apparently, but he was. I would never call Vince McMahon a money mark. He made his money through wrestling, right?
And other marks. But I would say,
the ultimate worker.
I would say Tony Khan's on that line. If he wasn't there and he had to fall in his father's
footsteps, well, Tony's different. He'd be a super fan. Yeah, Tony Khan's different. It's a different breed than Vince McMahon. Tony Khan had money from other things and mostly his father, right? And was a wrestling fan, so he was able to invest and make something that he wanted to create, which is great. I'm not knocking him for that. But
he didn't come in
like Vince McMahon did through wrestling, right? It's a completely different ownership mentalities there. Now, I mean, we're talking about Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is even part of the company. So I think if Triple H is going to be running the show, I think we're going to go back to more of like a classic kind of like style of wrestling. Cause I think that's what Triple H came up with. That's his kind of mentality. And she's going to be running the company, which that's what I'm hearing is.
I mean, he is a Kowalski student. He came from that traditional line of wrestling. So, I mean, it would only make sense to kind of go back that route.
Right.
And I could see him also working well with others. I mean, they did have that great, crossover with Maja Slamovich there over the WrestleMania weekend, allowing people from NXT to come over there and work her. And that's the kind of stuff that just wasn't there 5 years ago.
No, because they were always very protective. I mean, even going back to like the WCW invasion angle, like they protected themselves so well that they couldn't build any like stars out of the WCW roster. Like some guys were talented enough to kind of like sneak through, guys like Booker T and whatnot eventually. But basically everyone from WCW came over right away, got buried.
And then forget about ECW.
Well, that was the whole other thing. But that got my trainer Tony some work, so that was cool. I got to see him do the macho Libre gimmick. That's one of my favorite moments in wrestling.
So, Vinny, what do you have coming up?
So, we talked about before. I got May 18th, Wrestling with Character in, I believe, New Britain, Connecticut. And the next day, on May 19th, I will be in East Hampton, Massachusetts for Pioneer Valley Professional Wrestling. And then and I think it's June 1st. It's either the 1st or the 2nd. I can't remember what day is the Saturday. XWA Wrestling in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Those are my next three shows coming up.
And from now on, if I'm interested about the next Pioneer event, I'm not going to wait till I see on Facebook. I'm just going to message you.
And say, you can message me. I usually share their posts. So he usually announces the show right after the previous show. So I if you follow, if you go on my Facebook page, you can find it there most times.
I'll stalk you more.
I find the algorithms are weird though. Sometimes people,
The Facebook like,
promotions are now running ads, and like they'll just dominate feeds, and I won't see like half of promoters' ads or show ads until like day of or weekend of, and it's like. I'm a front row person, so I love the front row. And if it's already sold out, it kind of like it honestly gives me like a 50% chance less of going to the show.
That's fair. And front row seats do tend to sell out at these promotions that the hall that we run in for PvP, isn't that big. So the front row tends to sell out pretty quickly too.
The thing I liked about the Blitzkrieg event last time, not to try and say they're better than Northeast. We know that Northeast better. Anyways, it was like I had back row seats, but they're like four rows, and like no one, nothing behind us, so we can kind of stand up, walk around, pace around a little bit.
That's cool.
No, so it was like ideal leg room,
yeah,
for tall motherfuckers like me.
Well, Northeast Wrestling, we pack them in, so we have I think we had, I want to say, I think it was 1,200 maybe. And Danbury last show, so that's pretty.
You had a stacked card though.
Pretty big indie show. We had my Ali was there. Unfortunately, Riddle had to cancel. I guess it's something that happened with his wife. I heard she's pregnant. But she had to take her to the hospital, so he wasn't able to make the show, which is kind of disappointing because he's fun to work with. But
you sure Vito's shoulders were down when you counted three?
100%. It was right there. I watched it.
Yeah, but you could have been tired, just like, no, we want
to. It was a long night. But you know, I will admit it's hard. It is hard to see where the shoulders are down when they've just gone through a table. So like there might have been some wood in the way, but you know, I think the wood is part of the ring in those kind of matches. You know, that kind of counts as part of the ring. So if your shoulders are on the wood, you got to count the three anyway.
I don't want this to be like another Dave Hefner incident. Andre the Giant Hulk Hogan. I don't want this to be like that controversial.
I will. There's no way that he kicked out. I will say that. He was down for a while.
I just, you know, I thought the shoulder was up, but that's
best case scenario. Maybe, like I said, his shoulder might have been seemed like it was on the table that he went through. But you know, like I said, that's part of the ring.
The WWE wrestling, not even WWE wrestling itself. I think they need like a replay play, like kind of like football. You know, you go back and see. Did those shoulders lift up last second?
Yeah. Kills a lot of story, though, doesn't it?
It would bring it to a grinding halt.
Oh, it would make it seem more real. Somebody, like, what the hell? You're
throwing a red flag in the ring. No, hold on.
Gimmick, though. People would be like, what the hell is going on? Is this real? Maybe only in New York with the Athletic Commission.
So, what can we find you on social media?
My social media, of course, you can find me on Instagram at Referee Vinny Lax. You can find me on Twitch. I Twitch video games, retro video games. I watch play some Pokemon games I've been playing. I've been playing the Pixel Remastered series of Final Fantasy. And on Fridays, I watch retro television commercials. That's one of my favorite streams every Friday. Usually Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Fridays at 7:30 a.m. Eastern time, and on Wednesdays, which is tomorrow morning, which is why I gotta get to bed pretty soon, we start at 7 a.m. Eastern time. That's how I start my day. I get on Twitch, I play some games, watch some commercials, hang out, chat, have my energy drink before the gym. It's a good time. So referee,
I'm gonna bring the damn kid to school. I gotta do all that shit at 7 o'clock. I can't stop my stream till 10. I'm mad. I want that 7 o'clock time slot, damn it.
Yeah, it's nice. It's you know, it's a good way to start the day. Like I said, I have my energy drink. I start the day and do a little bit of streaming, and then I, you know, have my full time job. You know, I'm an athletic trainer for a high school, so you know, I got to be into work around 11:30 or so. So I get my gym time in before, and you know, then go to work. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, YouTube, the Just Another Guy Talking About Stuff YouTube channel. If you want to give a subscription to that, haven't really done too much right now. It's just kind of been a home for my Twitch VODs. But you can go back and watch a lot of cool videos that I used to make about like the hot chip challenge. I just did that. The Buffalo Wild Wings challenge, a lot of food reviews I used to
do. Wait, did you do the hot chip challenge?
I did it twice. I'll never do it again. The second time,
but you didn't die. So I did not die.
The second time I felt like I was going to die. And that's why I'll never do it again. I had the worst stomach cramps that I've ever had in my life. I was ready to go to the hospital. And I said, I'm not doing this thing again. It's crazy.
You've never lived in Korea, have you?
No, I've never lived in Korea. They got some spicy food out there. And I like spicy food.
You can get well trained for the chip trip.
I'm a fan of spicy food. When I get you know, curry, I usually get a vindaloo. I enjoy, like, you know, I usually get that Buffalo Wild Wings, like the mango habanero or the hot sauce, which is pretty spicy. I won't get that wild because I feel like that doesn't have as much flavor.
No, but now they got the Reaper peppers. They got those Reaper peppers that will just, you know, you can't even look at them.
They got something more than the Reaper peppers now, I think. There's something worse out there now.
Something even bigger than that because the breeding possibilities are insane.
Well, now they've gotten very technical with it. But yeah, the hot chip, the one chip challenge, I did it twice. Like I said, I'm not going to do that yet. But yeah, check. If you want to see me suffer, watch that video. That's a pretty old one now, but
sell them anymore. They're off the market. They're illegal now.
They usually come back every year or so, I think.
Not this year because of the kid that died. You gotta buy
them. Well, I will say Pocky does make a good chip though. Their regular flavor chips are really good.
Yeah, Pocky's are good. I like Pocky.
But you know,
Silly kills you. McRibs.
I love the McRibs. I'm a McRib mark so bad, dude. I'm so mad that they didn't come back last year.
Why didn't they come back last year?
They only came back in like they said they were retiring it, but then it came back in like limited markets. But yeah, it's I miss the McRib. I love that sandwich. It's very nostalgic for me. I used to work at McDonald's, so
before your refereeing days, or
it was before my refereeing days, actually. Yeah, because I think the last time I worked at a McDonald's was probably 2003. It was a year after college.
Oh, you poor bastard.
I was working at Blockbuster then.
I worked at Blockbuster.
2002.
That must have been a nice gig, though, to get to watch a lot of movies.
I love Blockbuster and Hollywood Video. I worked them both, and they were really, there was some wild things. You got not only to watch all the videos you want, but you got screener videos in, like months before people got to see them.
That's
you know,
cool.
for viewership's only. So you get to see all this cool shit. It was a lot of fun.
That's pretty neat, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Cool time.
The only cool thing that I got to watch was, like, you know, training videos for McDonald's, which I, for some reason, I love watching training videos. You ever do that? You ever go on YouTube and just watch old, like, training videos from different companies for some reason? It's so entertaining. I don't know why. It seems like the most boring thing in the world, but I pop so hard for that kind of stuff.
You must have been able to collect the toys, though, because that's where the money's at, the McDonald's toys.
I wish I should have collected more of them, to be honest with you. But,
right? I mean, I wish I collected, say, more Blockbuster memorabilia.
I used to have these awesome, talking about the memorabilia, I used to have these awesome, like, crew pins. I don't know what happened to those. I had, like, so many different,
have, like, premier,
the Monopoly promotions and, like, the Dale. No, who was the driver for the McDonald's car back in the day? It was like 88. Anyway, I got, like, his pin.
Mac the Knight. No, that was the guy.
Mac the Knight. I didn't get a Mac the Knight pin. But yeah, I'm trying to think of the pin, like the Olympic pins, because the, you know, McDonald's sponsored the Olympics. I would get those every 4 years.
I know what you're talking about. It's not the tip of my tongue. It was back in the day. But that's kind of like, I feel like McDonald's was even bigger then. They had, like, all this national level. Now it's kind of like they kind of scaled themselves down. It's funny.
Yeah, I think that's targeted, right? They have obviously gotten away from targeting to children, which in a way is obviously a good thing for society, but, like, the nostalgia in me says, like, oh man, I miss McDonald Land. That was awesome. Those McDonald Land commercials.
Reality, though, when we were eating it as kids, it was probably decent. It probably wasn't as bad as it was now.
It's honestly, it's probably better now than it was back then. I think it's probably higher quality.
I don't know.
They have stepped up a little bit. Their quality, their meat, and even their preparation process. They're probably a little bit better than they were back when we were kids. But it is what it is. It's still full of sugar. Everything's
but the prices aren't there. The prices are ridiculous. You can't. I mean, I was telling a friend, I can't bring the family up for, you know, a normal meal, cook at home. We'll go to McDonald's. It's all the same cost.
Yeah, that's true. But people are making more money, so that's the way I see it. You know.
Well, yeah, nobody's making $20 an hour wrestling. They can afford better meals.
That is true. Well, I don't know. If you average out my salary, I'm probably making around that.
Yeah, should tack on like a McDonald's run.
depending if you count the drive or not, you know, those can be long days, those wrestling shows. But
see, when you now usually do, before you tell your fees, you just be like, hey, McDonald's is between now, there, and where I have to go. Three.
I know that this is turning into a commercial for McDonald's, but, like, that's my go-to road food, McDonald's, because.
He might be honest. You might have a new national sponsorship here.
Yeah, listen, McDonald's, if you're listening, I am all ears. I will. You can. I will put you. I will put the big arch right on my Twitch channel if you want. I joke all the time because I have I drink Monster Rehab, which is the best energy drink.
Okay,
because
my wife just asked me to ask you what your favorite energy drink was.
Monster Rehab is so freaking good. And
they got the cheese.
Which one is it?
The ones you don't like without the carbonation.
Which one is the rehab one?
They're all
Yeah, they're teas. They're energy teas.
She says they're not strong enough because I got
they're not. They're not, and that's why I had to. Because I used to drink Bang Energies every morning, and I started to get some, like, heart palpitations. I was like, I get away from these. I'm getting older.
Yeah, I had her on Bang for like a week, and then she's like, "Oh, these are no good." And I'm like, "They're fine. Just." Don't
the flavors were great. I love some, like, the Key Lime Pie Bang was one of my favorites. But like I said, that they had too much caffeine in for me. The rehabs only have like as much as a cup of coffee. So they're
what
perfect
I learned
for
early on about the bangs is that you can't drink them as fast as the other drinks. You gotta kind
of the
like
carbonation
put
yeah.
an hour and a half kind of drink.
Well, that was perfect for me for streaming, right? Because that's what I would do. I would open them up and just sip it throughout my stream. I don't chug those things. But even the Monster Rehabs, it's, you know. But that's what I joke, talking about the Monster Rehab. Like, I joke every time I open it, and I'm like, if you're liking what you're watching, give a follow, because if I get enough followers, maybe Monster Energy will finally pay attention to me, and I can get sponsored here.
Hey, get a sponsor, get a truck, you get all sorts of things.
Start one thing at a time.
It's a free case, a couple gift cards, you know.
Yeah, it's, yeah, like I said, one step at a time here.
Yeah. Well, Vinny, I appreciate you coming on tonight. Thank you very much.
No, thanks for staying up late for me, Vic. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for plugging my stuff. Hi to the audience out there. And I hope everyone has a great night.
I appreciate it.
See you at a wrestling show soon.
Nice to meet you. Now I got to go.
Nice to meet you, too.
I was debating on about that wrestling character. Now I know for sure I got to get out there.
See, yeah, no, check it out. It's going to be a good time. Bring the kids. It's like a carnival like atmosphere. It's a lot of character based driven, like wrestling. It looked like a good time.
Like we grew up with.
And like I said,
like characters.
It's going to be me and Kevin Quinn on wrestling, refereeing on the same card. Like, you can't go wrong there.
I know. That's the aces in the hole right there.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Vinny. Thank you very much for your time, Tatashi. I know you've been busy these days. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you for everyone who listened and watched. This is KTB Media, and we are all out.